Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin, all coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and X Twitter. Just a reminder to download the app.
Please.
It's free.
It's absolutely free.
It's absolutely free. You can listen to all of the stations in the Civic Media Network through the app. There are 20 stations across the state, all the different shows, lots of different things going on. So go to your favorite app store and download the Civic Media app today. We have a very, very busy show coming up today. Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:30 so we can do some recombobulating. I have a feeling maps may come up in the discussion. At 11:06, Wisconsin State Senator Mark Spreitzer is joining us. He introduced a measure that would affect, and I didn't even realize this was still a thing in Wisconsin, child marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to learn more about this and what this effort will do. And then coming up at 11:33, I highly encourage you to stick around for this or at least listen to it as a podcast if you have to go live your life. Retired U.S. Army Brigadier General Steve Anderson is going to be joining us at 11:30.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about NATO.
Yes.
And why is NATO important and what it would mean if the U.S., as has been promised by the former president, if we pulled out of NATO, what effect would that have?
This interview is now part of a longstanding segment we're going to call, "Hey, I didn't know I had to ask this question." I'll work on music.
Okay, that's fine. It's always a work in progress.
Yep.
We're going to start, though, with be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Andrew Hitz, the former state GOP chair in Wisconsin, who, along with nine others, signed documents stating that Donald Trump won Wisconsin when he had not, now says they were acting under the advice of lawyers to preserve all possible avenues for Trump's court challenges and recounts. However, the big thing that's out now is that he is doing a 60 Minutes interview with Anderson Cooper this coming Sunday night, in which he essentially says he signed this because he was afraid of Donald Trump's supporters. Now, just wrap your head around that. Just think about that just for a second. And as you're doing that, Calvin, let's play that clip. This is Andrew Hitt talking to Anderson Cooper on this coming Sunday, 60 Minutes.
Beautiful kids, Andrew. Good, good. I'm going to blame you, Andrew, if they don't do it.
Can you imagine the repercussions on myself, my family, if it was me, Andrew Hitt, who prevented Donald Trump from winning Wisconsin?
You're saying you were scared.
It was not a safe time. If my lawyer is right, and the whole reason Trump loses Wisconsin is because of me, I would be scared to death.
Beautiful kids, Andrew.
That is Andrew Hitt talking to Anderson Cooper, 60 Minutes. The entire interview will be this Sunday night on 60 Minutes. And again, essentially, he is saying, if I didn't do this, if I didn't sign on to be one of these fake electors and the court did throw out the votes for Joe Biden, it would have been solely my fault that Trump wouldn't have won Wisconsin. Can you imagine the repercussions on myself and my family if it was me, Andrew Hitt, who stopped Donald Trump from winning in Wisconsin?
Well, you made the choice to be a part of this, you know, traitorous act. So, I mean, I get what he's saying. I would be afraid, too.
I understand that,
then you
sure.
say no at the outset, and you I'm not going to get involved in this, but you walked into this, and you said, I will do this. I will create a fake elector, and therefore, all the responsibility after that is on you, my friend.
Why has it taken this long for you to come forward and say this?
Because Anderson Cooper wasn't calling him before. Now is his chance to be on national television.
Well, that is my larger issue. If you are afraid of your own electorate,
yeah,
and the threats you might receive from your own electorate, that seems to me something that you should step forward and share.
Yeah. But I'm sure that national television / I don't know if 60 Minutes pays the people they interview. I mean, he's getting attention now. He's getting his national attention. He'll probably write a book. He's going to go on the Sunday shows. And
Is that really? I don't see how. I don't see how this does him any good, in any way.
Well, he gets the sympathy of the people.
Does he? Isn't he just putting?
I think that's what his goal is. I'm not saying he's going to. I'm saying
he wants to be a sympathetic figure.
Yeah, he wants you to feel sorry for him because he didn't. Because my wife and my family, we don't. You know, we could have gotten hurt. All right, I understand that. But when you enter into a contract with the devil, there are going to be some blowbacks there. And one of the blowbacks are all his fans. And if you can't make it work, yeah, they're going to, yeah.
Well, but again, I think he's just bringing more attention to himself. And now by speaking out at all, this isn't going to endear him to those same people he was afraid of before.
I have never accused anyone who has worked closely and or supported that man to be accelerantly smart in far strategy. So I think he's just taking what he can get and trying to soften his image.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, if you would like to comment on this. Again, Andrew Hitt is going to be appearing on 60 Minutes this Sunday with Anderson Cooper, basically talking about how he signed on to be a fake elector because he was afraid.
Yeah.
He was afraid of what I'm assuming are his own constituents. Papa Rico on the live stream, sounds like someone put out a hit for Andrew Hitt. I don't want our politicians, I don't want anybody to be getting death threats for doing their job.
This is not Russia.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
But
if you listen to Tucker Carlson, that would be the greatest thing that could ever happen to America. We'd have much nicer grocery stores, apparently.
Cleaner streets and subways.
Right.
We'd get a subway here.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, according to Tucker Carlson. But I don't want anyone to be the subject of violent threats just for doing their work, doing their job. That's terrible. Yeah. But at the same time, I think it's pretty awful that it has taken until now for him to come out and say this.
I mean, and hopefully Anderson Cooper will ask that question. I mean, you could go on Fox News and do this interview. You could go on OAN. You could go on any one of those news networks that are going to be more favorable to what your belief is.
Right.
But when you go up against Anderson Cooper, he asks tough questions. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't let you skirt. And so I'm interested to see what the entire interview looks like.
If Anderson Cooper pushes him on it a little bit more.
Yeah.
By the time that Andrew Hitt and the 9 other Republicans met in the Wisconsin State Capitol to sign the paperwork claiming to be the electors for Trump, the Wisconsin Supreme Court had already confirmed that Joe Biden had won.
Yeah.
Joe Biden beat Trump by about 21,000 votes. Trump sought recounts in Dane and Milwaukee counties, which, as a reminder, did confirm Joe Biden's win. Trump sued. The state Supreme Court upheld the results. And this is also a reminder, this was before the court switched.
Mm-hmm.
In spring, this last spring, the Supreme Court upheld the results on a 4-3 vote, December 14th of 2020. Less than an hour later, Democrats met in the state capitol to cast Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes for Biden. At the same time, Andrew Hitt and the rest of the fake Trump electors were in a different part of the capitol, filling out paperwork claiming that Donald Trump had won. They then submitted that to Congress, the National Archives, a federal judge, and then Wisconsin Secretary of State Doug La Follette. At the time, the fake electors said they held the meeting to ensure Wisconsin's electoral votes were cast for Trump if a court later determined he was the true winner. And again, it had already been determined he was not the true winner by the time they met and signed this paperwork.
Yeah, I mean, we got a text from what you're asking for. We got a text from the 414 saying this is a cover your tuchus maneuver on his part. He's trying to keep from getting put on trial and sent to prison. I don't know if the interview is going to make that happen, but I think he's trying to make himself a more sympathetic character in this horrible play.
I just don't see how this will help him.
No,
I really don't. And if he was unpopular with members of his party before this, this isn't going to fluff up those popularity ratings.
Well, and also let's not forget that this entire group of people have not been charged.
Right.
They still get to keep, they can't be on an election where Donald Trump appears on a ballot, but they still get to do the, like, they're not being fired. They're not being, They're not even being fined. They're just, that was bad of you.
You should, naughty.
Naughty, naughty kids. So
slap on the hand.
So unless Andrew Hitt sees something coming down the road prosecution-wise,
nothing's going to happen.
I don't understand why he's doing this unless he's writing a book.
Which seems reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there will be a book coming.
Absolutely.
During a February 2022 deposition about the January 6th attack at the Capitol, Andrew Hitt testified he was worried about his physical safety while signing on to this paperwork. There was a general concern about safety, how we were going to keep everybody safe if someone wanted to disrupt something. Throughout this time, I got several phone calls to my office. My secretary told me about demanding to know my exact location. I got a lot of threatening emails, quite frankly, from both sides of the political aisle. Knock it off. Everybody, stop it.
Yeah. Once again, as you said, I don't want anyone to get hurt, but Andrew, you entered into this
knowingly.
Knowingly. And if you didn't think there was some consequence to to your actions, come on, man. I don't believe that for a second. And now you expect me to feel sorry for you because you dance with that guy? Mm-mm.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, if you would like to chime in on this before we move on. Because when we return, Comer and
Comer.
The Irretrievably Incompetent. It's a new band name. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane said. Jane
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very happy to have you along with us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or leave a message on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform Elon Ruined. Very, very busy show today. We have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area is going to be joining us at 10:30. At 11 o'clock, Wisconsin State Senator Mark Spritzer will be here talking about a measure that would ban child marriage in Wisconsin and give kids who are currently married the ability to leave that, among other things. And then at 11:30, three very important segments.
Mm-hmm.
Retired U.S. Army Brigadier General Steve Anderson will be here, and we're going to talk about NATO. Why is NATO important? What does NATO do? Why should the U.S. keep its membership in NATO?
Yep.
Because some say that we should just leave. Seems like a bad plan. Right now, though, I want to spend a little time on this and focus on James Comer and the Irretrievably Incompetent.
I need to tell the audience this really quick. The entire time during prep for the show today, as we were talking about it and watching Jane read about it and listen to segments, she was laughing like a child who has been taken to every candy store in New York City. Listen to that laugh. Listen to that laugh. That's the laughter of I win.
It's kind of just kind of a joyful thing. The FBI source who Republicans have been touting for years as their number one guy who's going to take down Hunter Biden and bring down President Biden with this payoff from Burisma and all these bribes and everything. Well, bad news, kids, because yesterday that FBI informant was arrested and now is facing numerous charges for...
Wait for it.
Lying to the FBI.
There it is.
Addressing the revelation that 43-year-old Alexander Smirnov, now facing two counts of allegedly handing the FBI false information about Joe Biden and his son Hunter during the 2020 presidential campaign, there was all kinds of joy all over the internet when this broke yesterday.
There was much rejoicing.
There was much rejoicing. I just have to narrow down where I want to go. Some of the comments include, you know, it just shows that the Republican Party, or at least certain factions of it, continue to circle the drain. You have to wonder, is there anyone in the GOP that's willing to do the hard work of pulling them out from this nosedive? This is beyond embarrassing. It's just not governance. It is inexcusable. And then several people on the socials were worried about James Comer, and someone should go check on him.
Bring him some orange slices.
He may have to lay down.
Yeah.
You know, go in a dark room and put a compress over his head.
But it brings up a good question that we ask all the time, and I'm sure a lot of Republicans who don't subscribe to this sort of thought, you know, the Biden crime family, who is going to be left of their party to do the work that needs to get done? The, you know, the governance, the passing bills, that bipartisan that most people are looking for. Instead, what we have is just shards of people who find it their best work is going on websites and harassing people who are just trying to get the word out and just being absolute monsters about it, thinking that they're doing something with their lives when they're not. They're just making their party look bad. And so anytime a decent lawmaker comes along, we're so impressed by that
because the bar is so low now.
Exactly. Because what we deal with all the time are commenters and these so-called thinkers who think they know something when they don't.
Another comment from someone who is on Twitter. I am confident, I am certain that we will hear a measured, objective, and humble commentary from Sean Hannity tonight responding to this indictment. I'm sure that's coming. We do have a sound clip, Calvin, from Chris Hayes, who covered a little bit of this. Let's take a listen to Chris Hayes.
In the most spectacular embarrassment imaginable, it blew up in their faces. You see, the special counsel, Republican appointee, leading the case against Hunter Biden, who was appointed by Donald Trump, now says that that guy, this informant they hung their entire claim on about the bribe, he lied. Their infamous FBI informant is being federally criminally charged for making it all up. In his show, Fox host Sean Hannity alone promoted the claim of this single FBI informant no less than 85 times last year.
Wow.
28 of those segments were monologues, very long monologues, in addition to all the breathless so-called reporting. And this is across the right-wing media. Hannity had House Oversight Committee Chairman and Chief Biden Crime Family Investigator James Comer on as a guest 43 times in 2023. Today, James Comer and Sean Hannity's favorite informant, the smoking gun for their investigation, was arrested at Harry Reid International Airport in Las Vegas. He was indicted on two counts of feeding the FBI false information about President Joe Biden and his son Hunter.
Just a reminder also, in case you missed that at the beginning of that clip, Chris Hayes mentions that the man who was heading this investigation was appointed by Donald Trump.
Yes.
I'm just going to say that one more time slowly.
Well, yeah, for some
the man investigating the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden case and the crime family was appointed by Donald Trump. I just think that's a little tidbit that's important.
I think to get some people to understand, you might have to scream it with obscenities using poor English too. So I don't know. Just a thought.
So keep in mind, there will be no retraction and there will be no comment from Fox about this at all.
No.
Even though 85 times Sean Hannity talked about this last year, they had him on 40, Jay, they had Comer on 43 times, pounding this over and over and over and over. This is our smoking gun. We got him. The balloons come down. Hooray, hooray. No. And now, at least on certain other media outlets, you're not going to hear a peep about this.
Unless you hear, well, you know, this is all just part of the plan.
It's the deep state.
The deep state has influenced him, and he's lying now about the lying.
If you got to cling to that.
What do you got?
I guess that's your inner tube. Cling to your inner tube.
That should be a bumper sticker or a t-shirt.
What?
If that's what you have to cling to, I guess that's your inner tube.
I guess that'll work for you. All right. Stay with us. Wonderful Entertainment Minute on the way from Pete Schwabe. We will hear the weather as well. Find out what's coming up for the weekend. And then when we return, we're recombobulating with the one and only Dan Schaefer. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your candle calls her mama. I'm sure all the hand and that gets around. Hard, hard to handle now. Oh, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, let me light your candle, calls her mama. I'm sure all the henna now gets around.
Richland Center. If you're listening on WRCE, Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. He now joins us every Friday at this time to recombobulate. Dan Schaefer is with us from the recombobulation area. You should absolutely subscribe. He does wonderful, wonderful work and has won many, many, many awards.
A lot of awards.
A lot of awards. And he's here with us. So how you doing this morning, Mr. Schaefer?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Always good to be with you, Jane.
Thank
you. And it's okay to be with you, Greg.
You know what, man? What? I don't even know what I did to deserve this. Like, you're like, oh, I'm going to make him my Squiggy, and I'll be Lenny from
Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, that's where I went. Whatever.
I just like how visibly annoyed you get every time I give you a hard time. It makes for good radio.
It's a special treat if you're watching the stream. So let's talk maps.
Let's talk maps.
There's all kinds of... Does Governor Evers have until Tuesday?
I believe so, yeah. I believe he has... he has a big decision in front of him right now because the legislature passed maps. The Republican-controlled Wisconsin state legislature passed a map proposed by the Democratic governor. It's a rather discombobulating week, frankly. up is down, left is right. Everybody is trying to make sense of what exactly was passed, what the stakes are in this decision. And frankly, it's pretty discombobulating. So, I think we're all on pins and needles waiting to see what the governor might do here.
Well, it's kind of a tough spot, right? Because again, these are his maps that the governor submitted and he said he would sign them. But then I certainly understand the concerns that there might be something not entirely on the up and up with this move by the Republican Hill legislature on why they would do this. Obviously, they want to avoid this going to the Supreme Court as much as possible, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're trying to determine what is the greater legal risk here. So I think there are a number of people who have suggested that there would be legal risk if Evers were to sign this instead of just having the Wisconsin Supreme Court process play out as planned. I think there are other people who are saying that, you know, the state constitution in Wisconsin says that the legislature proposes the maps, the governor signs the maps. That's the most direct path to a to be on sound legal footing. So I think there are competing views on this. I'm not quite sure what it is. It just seems like there's this legal black box that exists behind every door that you would might take in this. But I also think it's pretty interesting that so many of the, you know, kind of fair maps of pro-democracy advocacy groups have lined up to encourage Evers to sign the maps. I think the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, Common Cause Wisconsin, League of Women's Voters, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, a lot of these groups have put out statements this week since the legislature passed those maps on Tuesday to encourage Evers to sign the maps, saying that these are fair maps. They were assessed as fair maps by the consultants appointed by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They were proposed by the legislature. They are the exact maps from Evers, and that he should sign the maps. And I think there are a lot of people who consider this to be an enormous political win to even have those maps propose, have even have the option to veto or to approve these maps. You know, if you think back to a couple of years ago, the People's Maps Commission maps or the Evers lease change maps that people were excited about at the time as a possibility to have those, you know, these maps are probably more favorable to Democrats than some of those would have been from 2021. And I think some of the calculation from Republicans here is that the Evers maps of the four being considered are slightly more favorable to Republicans than some of the other options. So there's just a five-sided puzzle to all of this. Yeah. It's like I said, it's very discombobulating. Discombobulated, Jane.
I feel that, Dan, and that's why we have you here, so we can recombobulate after this past week. From what I understand, Dan, the concern if Governor Evers does sign the maps is that then some right-wing group is going to come forward and bring a lawsuit in order to essentially just delay everything for another couple of years. And so we're stuck with these same maps through the upcoming presidential election and then for the next couple of years.
See, that doesn't make sense to me, though. I've heard that argument, too. But the ruling from the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the maps. The maps are gone now. You know, you can't just bring them back. You can't just bring back unconstitutional maps. I don't know exactly how that would work.
Okay.
But I also understand that, like, you know, there's this like legal Calvin ball happening where you just make up the rules as you go. And no matter, you know, there's going to be some right wing organization, probably the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty, who's going to challenge them somewhere. And, you know, Congressman Mark Pocan has referenced a number of times a potential legal challenge to the Seventh Circuit Court. And, you know, that is led by Diane Sykes, who was on the short list for U.S. Supreme Court for Donald Trump. Not exactly a middle of the road judge. So it's, you know, there's risk either way. But I think that's why we haven't heard from Governor Evers since Tuesday on this, because I think they're trying to pore over, you know, all of the language from this decision. And another thing you mentioned that I think was raised in the session, you know, by a number of Democratic senators, which was language added to the bill saying that, you know, these maps wouldn't be in place until the fall general election, and that it wouldn't be in place for any special or recall elections that might happen in the meantime.
Right.
There has since been reporting from WisPolitics and from the Wisconsin State Journal saying that that language is pretty standard practice and was not added by Republicans, but actually added by the Legislative Reference Bureau. So basically the line of thinking here is that, I'll just use the recall as an example. You know, Robin Voss was elected under the old map. He would be recalled for the term in which he was elected on for that map. So it would be under the old map. But anything new, if in the fall, would be under new maps.
Well, and
so I think that is the part of the, so I think there was concern that was a poison pill in the legislation. I think those concerns might be unfounded based on some of the reporting from this week, but again, it's the lawyers, the malignant attorneys out there who are who are making the decisions for us.
Well, and isn't part of it is just a practicality in being able to get things done and able to get forms completed, right? This takes time. It's not like when the new maps and the districts that they're going to be running in and all of those things, it takes time to actually physically produce these materials in order for them to be used in an election.
Yeah, and that's part of it. I think that's part of the reason why we've seen movement on this too. Is and that's what Robin Voss has said. He's said that, you know, we need to take time to figure out who lives where and what district they're going to be in and what candidates we might be able to recruit, to run in, you know, all 99 districts in the Wisconsin State Assembly that are going to be on the ballot. All, you know, 16 of the 33 state Senate districts that are going to be on the ballot. So I think that's part of it too. And the Wisconsin Elections Commission set a March 15th deadline for new maps to be in place. I think that's part of it too. They don't want to draw out this process longer than it needs to. But again, everyone's speaking in riddles, so it's hard to tell what's going on.
And I think that's we were saying before, as far as like the question of if these maps get passed, how will they take them to court? I think at this point, everyone is so distrusting of what's going on that we're looking behind every door, checking under every box to make sure there isn't some tiny boogeyman waiting to come get us in the process. Because, you know, we've talked about it many, many times. We just want fair maps. That's it. And as you said a couple weeks ago, none of these maps, from the most conservative to the most liberal, favor any sort of liberal takeover landslide. We just want the maps that are fair. And if it's the governor's and it's good, let's do it. But I think it's a matter of this seems too good to be true for everybody, especially in Wisconsin. We're just like, let's wait for that other winter boot to drop.
Why should I trust you?
Yeah.
Why should I trust you to do anything in good faith? Which is tragic, really, that's where we are. But in many ways, that is where we are.
It's like a reverse Stockholm syndrome situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, where people are so distrusting of Robin Voss that they can't even that people can't quite recognize that this might actually be
a
huge political win.
Yeah.
Might actually have killed the gerrymander in Wisconsin and have fair maps for the 2024 election.
I know I had a conversation with my mother yesterday. She said, I think one of your people misspoke when they were talking about the maps, because she heard if the governor vetoes the maps he proposed, she figured someone just misspoke because she didn't understand that the maps that he could sign in were the maps he created.
Yeah.
So like, that's how confusing it is right now with the language and everything. It's like, you have to sit everyone down for a half an hour in Wisconsin. Let's have a half an hour television show. Here you go. It's going to be hosted by Dan Schaefer. There'll be PowerPoints brought
lots
to you by
of charts. We'll have lots of charts.
Brought to you by the award-winning Recombobulationary. And he's going to make you understand why the map system is the way it is.
I think part of the reason that Robin Voss has made this decision to pass the Evers maps is because of the four options being considered, this is the most favorable. So I think part of it is just like, this is he's choosing the best of a bunch of, for him, bad options. And I think one piece of this that's interesting is that other maps would put the Senate majority in play. So because of the way the schedule works, then this is kind of the case for the U.S. Senate right now, too. Everybody's saying the U.S. Senate map is much more favorable to Republicans winning back the majority this year just because of which seats are on the ballot. So if you saw my preview in 2022, you saw that there were a lot of Republican incumbents that were up that year. And that schedule wouldn't change under the Evers map. In some of the other maps, they might. I think the map from the right petitioners, maybe the map from Democratic senators, I'm not exactly sure, would change the timing for when senators would be brought up. So I think for Voss, this might be the most direct path to prevent against a Democratic trifecta.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, I can absolutely see that as a motivation in order to protect them. You know, we're going to do what's best for us. I guess that shouldn't be a surprise for anybody, mm-hmm. but that makes sense to me. But I wish I could remember which state lawmaker said, Dan, that this was a choice of being shot, hung, or stabbed.
Oh, it was Van Wongard.
Yes, and they picked stabbed so they could fight another day, which just was like, Oh, come on.
Van Wongard has all the best words. I've known that man for a long time. All the best words.
He so eloquently put it.
Yes.
The you know, and characterizing that, and the consultants characterize all of these maps as having a slight Republican bias, yeah, not Democratic bias.
Yeah.
So that is, I guess, being stabbed, having a map that has a slight Republican bias.
It will be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of days. It really, really will.
At least
he
didn't say kicking the Nuggets. I mean, do your thing.
That would have been good. All right, let's raise the discourse. We'll raise our discourse. Yeah. Dan Schaefer will still be here. We will continue to recombobulate. If you have a question for Dan or you want to call, check in at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, and stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. As we do every Friday now at this time from 10:30 to 11, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. And we were just talking about the shocking move by the Republican legislature in Wisconsin earlier this week to approve Governor Evers' redrawn maps. And now it is in the governor's hands. We did say if you had a question, you could call in. Eric from Wauwatosa is on the line. Good morning, Eric. Thank you so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Hi. I had a couple of questions for Mr. Schaefer, if he's still on with you.
Yeah.
The first one is if these are being seen as a win for Democrats, et cetera, why did I believe only one Democrat assembly person vote for these maps? And then is there any fear on the left that allowing this process to play out through the courts will result in a more GOP favorable map? And then also, the court said that the Evers maps that we're now discussing were, quote unquote, nearly indistinguishable from the others submitted. So what does that tell us about how, quote unquote, fair they were? And then the last one being, if new maps is a question I asked, full disclosure, I contacted Governor Evers' office to plead with him to veto these maps. And the office actually called back. So I would urge everybody to call that number that Dom and Krupp gave out as well to the office of the governor. They will respond much better than most GOP folks will, that's for sure. But I'm sorry, my last question is if new maps were drawn today by this nonpartisan group that they discussed, would they look like the maps that were drawn under duress by Governor Evers in an attempt to appease GOP power before it got to the Supreme Court? Thank you, and I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Eric.
Everybody got that?
Well, I'm not sure we'll get to everything, but we will certainly try. Take it away, Mr. Schaefer.
I'm just going to get a coffee. I'll be back.
Okay, I think we had like a six-part question there, so I'm going to do my best to answer them. Apologies to Eric. If you missed anything, hit me up on Twitter if you want to go through it. But first question was about why no Democrats voted for this. If this was so, I think, I wrote about this in my piece at the recombobulation area. I think Democrats have to preserve the option to veto. So because they're so close to a supermajority in the state legislature is that the Democrats had to vote together in order to preserve Governor Evers having the option to veto.
Ah.
So, you know, in the assembly is kind of the key body there. So the Democrats are two votes away from, or Republicans are two votes away from having a supermajority there. One Democrat voted with Republicans on that. If they were to lose two votes, they would lose the veto. So I think there was that confusing language that some Democratic senators raised alarms on about the special and recall elections. And because nobody saw that the actual legislation until it was on the floor, basically, I think they voted together to preserve the governor having the option to veto. I also think they're just deeply distrustful of Robin Voss and anything he might do.
Yeah.
He was the only person who spoke on the floor about those maps. And so I think they're just like I said, the reverse Stockholm syndrome is they just don't trust anything that Robin Voss is going to do.
Well, and hearing him say, you know, sometimes it's hard for you to take a win. It was just like, oh, ugh.
Yeah, that was that was so smarmy.
There was a high smarm level on that when he said that.
Yeah. So that's part of it. And
part
I think
two.
Okay. So what was, you got to remind me what some of these questions were. I think it's just a question of what invites a greater legal risk. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to, is just whether passing them invites a greater risk or vetoing them invites a greater legal risk. I think there are competing views on this. I have heard both arguments.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a really difficult decision. But I think at the end of the day, you know, you have the option to have a map proposed. You have Tony Evers said he would sign the map if they passed it, if there were no changes. I think we've seen over the course of the week that any red flags that people might have seen with the special and recall elections, I think these are the maps that Evers proposed. I think the most likely outcome is that he signs them.
He signs them.
One of the questions he did ask that Andrew from Maine reminded us of is, said, why not let the Supreme Court finish the process instead of signing maps?
That's the other calculation.
Yeah,
there.
That's, yeah. Andrew also said the legislature has been so discombobulated for so long, no one trusts anyone in Madison anymore. That's not untrue. And he also says Schaefer for Chief Recombobulation Officer 2024, statewide office.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll vote for you, Dan.
And I'll never relinquish that position. I will refuse to vacate the office.
Once I'm in for life.
Yeah.
We have just a couple of minutes left. Tammy Baldwin has a challenger from California.
Yeah.
Part-time Wisconsinite. Yeah. Part-time Wisconsinite, Eric Hovde.
I heard someone refer to him as Wisconsin landowner.
That's pretty good.
Oh, that's
pretty
funny.
Good. I might steal that one.
Yeah.
Eric Hovde.
We were talking about this yesterday, and I guess, how do you attack Tammy Baldwin's record? I mean, she's brought a lot of stuff to Wisconsin. She's worked on behalf and actually achieved things on behalf of Wisconsinites. Where do you go at her?
I think it's just the typical, you know, you go at her the same way you'd just probably try to tie her to, you know, policies from Biden that might be unpopular or whatever. But I think Tammy's her own is her own person in so many ways.
Yeah.
And she's our one functioning senator in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah. Whenever we get projects brought back home, you never see a senior senator who's off saying God knows what on conservative media. And I think Eric Hovde, I talked about it yesterday on Twitter. I think he seems like Tim Michaels 2.0.
Yes.
Yes.
A guy who has Wisconsin roots, who is going to be able to return to the state where he doesn't live anymore, and self-fund a statewide election campaign.
Yeah.
Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. You can subscribe to his Substack, The Recombobulation Area. Thank you so very much, Dan. Always great to have you on. We will see you next week.
It was great to hang out with you, Dan. Really great.
Great to hang out with you, Jane.
Stay close. News is coming up next. And when we return, State Senator Mark Spreitzer will be here. This is Matt Nair on air, coming across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You and me endlessly.